God is being ridiculous on purpose. You read a passage like the Unveiling 14, and you say this torments and the fumes. It's ridiculous kind of talk. Why isn't God more steady, more calm? Why doesn't he simply send people to the corner? Go to the corner. Stand in the corner for 15 minutes or go to your room. Something normal. He's just so abnormal, God is. And people get upset at that because they think that God is trying to be normal and not quite able to pull it off. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender here. And this, I've said this to you before, but I mean, I have to remind myself of this constantly, that God is not trying to sound like us. He's not trying to impress us. In fact, there are so many things in Scripture where you get the idea that God is trying very hard to push people away, to make this the most difficult book in the world to read, to make it the most unenjoyable, the most frustrating book in the world to read. And you know what? That's exactly what he's doing. Exactly what he's doing. And a reason I'm amused by that, as you can see, if you're watching the studio cam, is because I'm in on the secret. And now I'm letting you in on the secret that God's not trying to look like a genius. With the smoke of their torment ascends through the eons of the eons. Sounds like a cartoon. But it's not. It's as literal as can be. And when all this is said and done, we're going to see how it was done. What, you don't see how it could possibly be that the smoke, it's not smoke, you're right, it's fumes. I keep mispronouncing that. I don't mispronounce it, I just totally botch the word. It's not smoke that ascends, it's the fumes of their torment. Again, so specific, because fumes can be invisible. Did you know that? The fumes from a can of gasoline, you don't even see them. But don't light your cigarette next to the can of gasoline. Kaboom. So? I understand. I haven't verified this, so, you know. But that there are sulfurous fumes coming out of the Dead Sea. Sulfurous fumes. And that some the land, did you know land actually breathes, right? There's things in the air that we don't even know are there. So we know that it was sulfur and fire and sulfur, fire and brimstone, King James says, those King James people, let me get my hands on them in the afterlife. Fire and sulfur killed the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And rumor has it that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were on the near the Dead Sea, where the Dead Sea is. It makes perfect sense because that is the lowest place on the planet Earth. What is it, like 400 or something feet? Below sea level. So apparently there are sulfur beds under there somewhere, and sulfur is leaking out of the ground and therefore out of the water. Did you know that water evaporates from lakes? I don't have to prove this, you know it, right? Water evaporates from lakes. So there are not fumes, but there is water vapor. And you can't see it, but it's going up and forming the clouds. So you see, just when you think all this is figurative and God's being ridiculous with the fumes of their torment, what is this? Then you realize what a joy and a beauty it is to be a literalist. And if God wants to torment people for a little while in fire and sulfur, the fire might be over here, the sulfur might be over here. Sulfur is a very noxious fume. You don't want to breathe it. In limited amounts, it can clean stuff, you know, and so there is going to be torment associated with fire and sulfur. But it's not the torment that lasts, it's the fumes. So let me read this, and I'm sorry if it sounds juvenile. I'm sorry if it sounds ridiculous. I'm sorry if it displeases the more sophisticated listeners in my audience, who maybe think, Zender, you're really making a fool of yourself to take this stuff literally. That's okay, because God himself is making a fool of himself. He is. He is. Do I have to read this verse again out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Do I? I'm going to do it because I need it. And if I need it, I'm thinking that maybe some of you need it also. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the word of the cross is stupidity to those who are perishing, yet to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. All right, not only is the cross stupidity, a man being crucified for sin, but this book of Revelation is stupidity. Now, wait a minute, hang on, don't panic, don't freak out that I'm saying God is stupid. I'm just saying that God is only showing us his stupidity. Now listen to this. For it is written, I shall be destroying the wisdom of the wise and the understanding of the intelligent. And you have to say it like that if you're reading this in a Bible study. I shall be destroying the wisdom of the wise and the understanding of the intelligent. Those who presume to be intelligent, those who are intelligent in their own estimation. He says that he is going to be repudiating it. Sounds like something that Porky Pig would say. Repudiating it. Now listen to this. I shall be destroying the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of the intelligent shall I be repudiating. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Now the wise and the scribe are everywhere, because they announce themselves as such. You have the editorial people of the New York Times, or you have the people who write for the USA Today, Atlantic Monthly, all these esteemed journals of our world. These people, you can't help but notice them now, because all the best-selling authors, the scribe, oh, look at people like, who's that guy that wrote to us? See, I try not to remember these things, A Purpose-Driven Life. God forbid I remember this guy's name. But here's one of your modern-day scribes. Yes. And so, where are they? They're everywhere. They're on the New York Times bestseller list. But when God's wisdom comes forth, those of us who have looked stupid in this eon, well, let's just say the roles are going to be reversed. So, listen to this. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the discusser of this eon? Talk shows. OMG. Talk shows. Oh, that show with all the women on it, whatever it is, Whoopi Goldberg and that, the discussers of this eon, even Fox News, with the exception of Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly is allowed to discuss anything she wants to, but the discussers, the panels, the people who opine on various topics of note in the day, these are going to be, where's the discusser? Now, they're all on television. They're on CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, and any internet channel you want to name. That's where they are. But does not God, here's verse 20 now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I need this right now in the book of Revelation. This might have been what was holding me back. A remembrance of this. So if I need to be reminded of this truth at this point in the book of Revelation, we're over halfway, way over halfway. Well, four chapters, over halfway, then I think you need to hear this as well. Does not God make stupid the wisdom of this world? For since, in fact, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. That is pregnant. In the wisdom of God, in other words, here was a wise plan. Listen to this wise plan of God. In the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. So what a contradiction that seems to be. It was wise of God to make sure that people grasped his wisdom, not by the wisdom of the world. Isn't that amazing? In the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, the world thinks that through wisdom it can learn anything, just through wisdom. You have to go to college, you have to become learned, you have to become wise. And yet those who do that find themselves in no position whatsoever to know God. Because in the wisdom of the world through wisdom knew not God. So the smarter you get in this world, the dumber you get as pertaining to the things of God. That's the great revelation of this passage, and it's the revelation of Revelation. The stupider it is, the happier we should be. Because you really don't need wisdom, the wisdom that the world tries to sell you. You don't need that to understand this. You need a God-given understanding. And really, a God-given understanding translates as childlike belief. Childlike belief of what God says. That's why it is such a joy for me to be a literalist. For since, in fact, I love these. Whenever it says in fact, I always like that. The wisdom of God, through the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. God delights through the stupidity of the heralding to save those who are believing. That's what I just told you, the childlike belief. And it delights God through the stupidity of the heralding. This is God admitting that his message is stupid. It is. A man dying on a cross? Oh, that's not the wisdom of the world. One man representing the entire human race? That's crazy. Everybody should answer for their own sins, their own crimes. Yet we have two representative men, Adam and Christ. Then we have some old guy, John, traveling to a remote island off of the coast of Greece, receiving visions that are so fantastic, it makes the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz look normal. The flying monkeys with their little green vests. Like they look like hotel workers. They look like concierges. That's what the flying monkeys look like. The flying monkeys look normal compared to the, quote, crazy stuff we've been reading in the unveiling, including the fumes that are ascending for the eons of the eons, and they will ascend for the eons or the eons, or God isn't God. The fumes of the torment, they're not tormented for the eons of the eons. These poor worshipers of the wild beast are tormented for a brief period of time. I just saw that in A.E. Knox's book. This is so great. He says they're tormented for a brief amount of time. I want to quote that passage. If I can find it, because it'll help you see that I'm not crazy. The torment does not last so long. That's on page 399 at the top of the book I'm basing these studies on, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. The torment does not last so long, but its fumes ascend for the eons of the eons. There's the common misreading. Oh, the torment goes on forever and ever. No, it doesn't even go on for the eons of the eons, as I told you earlier. The torment only goes on for a short period of time. Might be 5 minutes. It might be 5 minutes. But the fumes of whatever God does during that period, which probably comes from the sulfur, will somehow, and I don't have to know how, I don't have to be able to explain it. I don't have to be able to give you the nuts or bolts of it, because if I'm to have childlike faith, which I do, and it's a gift of God, then a child doesn't have to explain why his mommy says what she says, or why his daddy tells him to put his toys away. He just believes that this is the right thing because his parents are telling him, and so he does it. And allowing for figures of speech, we go to the Word of God as children, believing God. So God delights. He is having fun. Delight is exactly what it says it is. He delights. It's like, whoo-hoo. It's a twinkle in his eye. Bring. Through the stupidity of the heralding to save those who are believing. He's not saving the wise people because it's too stupid for them. Well, to the Greeks, it's too stupid. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. And there it is. Yet to those of us who are believing, it's the power and the wisdom of God. And here it is, verse 25. I've been gunning for this one. Here, finally, I get to it. For the stupidity of God is wiser than humans, and the weakness of God is stronger than humans. How would we know that the stupidity of God is wiser than humans unless that's all God shows us? Unless that's all he shows us is his stupidity. Because if the wisdom of humanity cannot know God, then we must be being given something by God that the wisdom of humanity cannot attain to. And it can't attain to stupidity because it's too stupid for wisdom to accept. So God purposely and continuously puts forward stupid things. For the stupidity of God is wiser than humans, and the weakness of God is stronger than humans. We are now seeing God's stupidity and his weakness in these silly Bible stories. Noah's Ark. sacrificial system, killing goats and lambs, that's not very smart. Putting your own son on a cross, that's not very smart. Telling a tale of messengers with loud voices and fumes and torment and white horse riders and black horse riders, green horse riders, for crying out loud. That's the stupidity of God. And we're going to see, when it's all said and done, that it was the wisest thing you've ever heard.